All right, so it is October, officially fall and spooky season for most.
Ooh, it's crazy fall.
Watch out for the pumpkin spice. yes. So we figure we would take a little more topical approach for this month in our podcast. We're going to be talking about fear as our main focal point, as well as maybe the different faces it puts on, different masks, if you will. And so just talking through fear, we all experience it, just kind of like what that looks like, what the Bible says about it, maybe some biblical characters we can look to for inspiration and motivation, and just coming together around each other about the topic of fear and, you know, drilling down into what that means as a man. So we're going to start that off for this first episode of October. We're going to touch on the face of failure.
Ooh.
So...
Ooh, hitting guys right in the ego.
Oh, yeah. And so we want to start it off with this stat, and this was very interesting to find in our study, that more people are terrified of failure than people are terrified of spiders and ghosts combined.
That is a great stat for October. You notice the Halloween-ish stat there, but that's kind of amazing.
That means more people are terrified of failing their math test in college than spiders and ghosts. That is mind-boggling to me.
Well, wasn't it Jerry Seinfeld's joke of more people are afraid of giving the eulogy than dying?
Oh, yeah, because of public speaking.
Rather be in the box rather than outside the box. So.
It's interesting that there's just so many different fears out there. Hmm. But, fear of failure is probably... a huge one for men, just because there's so much pressure externally and culturally, all this stuff about providing, you know, being the man of the house, the spiritual leader, that kind of thing. And being a failure in most circumstances is not an option. You know, failure is like, oh man, I failed as a man.
Right.
And, you know, for, you know, some guys that is a huge blow. I mean, there's guys that I know that their whole identity is wrapped up in, you know, providing for their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they lose their job, they get a pay cut, whatever, it crushes them to level of like, they're like, well, what do I do now? My only identity was to provide, and I failed that one aspect of my life that I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
And just the damage that causes.
Sure.
So
even to a point of, you know, you make a decent salary, but you didn't get the bonus you wanted.
Mm.
It's like, oh my goodness. You know, even when you succeed, sometimes you feel like you failed.
Right.
Your performance review, right? Your KPI, those key performance indicators that everybody loves to use those acronyms for. We're measured. We're measured and weighed on a daily basis. And so because that's tied to, I think, a lot of success and money, and guys tend to tie that directly to their identity,
Their value.
Their value. That guy has a sports car.
Mm.
That person has a big house. They must be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do this to ourselves quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to see that not only, just talking about career stuff, but also failing in marriage. I mean, there's plenty of people who either deal with divorce or they can't open up to their wives, or failing as a father. I mean, I'm sure plenty of dads may feel like they've failed in seeing their kids grow up, maybe they prepared them for the world. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've, you know, created these, you know, these bad habits that they have themselves in their children, X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not just career, but it's just so prevalent in so many different aspects as a man.
Mm.
And it's interesting to see, you know, why it scares us, because, you know, there's kind of two school of thought of like, you know, failure is really bad. And then a lot of people look at failure as like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? What's the mistake that I made? How can I learn from it?
Sure. We were talking about this the other day in business. You learn more from a failure than you will at a success. We were talking about earlier that, let's just use going viral.
Mm.
Oh man, how did you go viral? You know, I'm not quite sure. We tried so many things. I'm not quite sure what I did to go viral. And then say you mess up and it doesn't go viral. You go back and check, okay, I didn't do this, this, and this. That's what I left off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're making a cake and you put salt instead of sugar in your cake, you're going to learn from that mistake.
Right.
So it's interesting that in fear like this here, people are failure comes in many forms, and we'll touch on as we move on. But one is it holds us back from pursuing our purpose in Christ. I know a couple of people who are, they say they're Christians, and they are terrified to mention his name. They do not want to speak about their faith in the slightest. Share the gospel, ask them a question about what are you reading right now, or what do you get out of a sermon, and that is the absolute worst thing in their world. They're terrified to talk about their faith. So you can see that faith hits us in a lot of different areas that it's not always a haunted house.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see that the freezing up part is interesting to see, because I saw that a lot in college. These guys who were like undecided in their degrees, or like a midterm was coming up, and they were just so terrified to make the wrong choice, they opted to not make a choice at all. Sure. And I would say that's almost worse.
Oh, man.
Because you're taking all the control that you, this little bit of control you have in that environment, and you're like, I don't want to be on the hook for making a terrible decision and going into pharmaceutical as opposed to, you know, engineering.
Right.
And then live with the consequences. I think there's this weird stigma of like, I have to have the perfect life, and every choice I make directly impacts that. And I make that choice, I can't take it back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, life is not a straight line from A to B.
Never.
I mean, this is, you know, the broken road is there for everybody to partake in. And so there are going to be times when you're scared about something. I think setting a perspective is really important. We have on our list here about sharing a time when failure led to growth in your life. And so I went in to work one day, and I put in for a Friday off. I was working at a label corporation down in New Orleans. And little did I know, they approved it. I took off that Friday. Saturday morning, I got a call. They had closed down. They had shut down the art department in the business, and they told everybody Friday while I was off work. So going from having a job Thursday to being unemployed Friday, that's one of those things that hits a person, whether man or woman, that you work so hard to get a job. You might complain about it every day of the week, but if you lose it, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And so this is back before the internet, before Al Gore created the internet. And so sending out resumes in the mail was still a thing. People were still black and white, and we didn't have gravity, that kind of stuff. So
it was a scary time.
Right. So it was a couple of weeks. I was still trying to get a job, and actually went to the unemployment office, and I just felt like such a failure standing in that line. I couldn't do it. I stood in line. I got about five people from the counter, and I just turned around and walked out. Not that if you need unemployment, it's there to be had, but for me at that moment, I felt like such a failure. And so I turned around, went home, made a few phone calls, and got a job by that next week. And that was all she wrote, as they say. But at that moment, holy cow, I had tied everything that I was to that moment of losing my job.
Yeah.
And what a foolish, foolish thing that was, because that was unfair to me. But the lesson I learned that is never do that again. I am worth something more than my job.
Yeah. I think whenever you tie yourself to anything that's has outside control, that's the danger of it, right?
Like, sure.
For me, in college, I mean, so you guys homeschooled us, you know, from kindergarten on up through high school, and I was very used to being a straight-A student. And so I got to college, and my first semester there, I had one of the worst teachers I have ever had. I remember her name. I remember the lessons that she did. She made kids cry. I mean, it was not a fun time. And this was an introduction class to drawing.
Now, when you say kids, this is not like four-year-olds. These are like 19 to 22-year-olds are like, you know, sobbing in the hallway.
Yeah, no, these are 20, 25-year-olds crying in the hallway about drawing classes. It's where I received my first C. My first C ever. And I remember just going home crushed because my entire identity I had wrapped up into, well, I'm the smart kid. I'm the straight A guy. Yeah. I don't get C's. C's are for losers. C's a failure in my book.
I think we actually had that motto in the homeschool. And you kind of like, we don't do C's in homeschool because we're there to tutor and take it slow or fast, whatever it needs to understand something. So I think we had a bar set there that may have unfortunately carried over into college that you're not destined to be always straight A or the best of everything at all times. So it may have kind of set you up for...
I mean that, but also I was very, very proud of my smarts and my skills and being hardworking. And I realized I had two classes of hers back to back. Mondays sucked worse than normal Mondays. And I remember taking her classes, meeting with her outside of classes, trying desperately, like, what do I need to do? How do I get my grade up? And she was just like, do more, try harder. And I was like, that's not helpful. And it was in that class I realized that I felt like a failure. I was like, I got into this art program, and now I'm going to get kicked out of it because of poor grades because of this one person. And I realized very quickly, I can't let this person's a random stranger to me, doesn't know my life in the slightest. I am a blip on her lifetime. How does she have the audacity to tell me what I can and can't do? And so I realized very quickly that I had to thicken my skin up drastically if I was going to be able to make it in the art department. That goes for anything, any kind of degree, office on through construction. I realized that I need to find my self-worth in myself, those around me that I value their opinion, as well as the Bible. Because if I let random strangers tell me, well, you suck, and that breaks me down to my core, that's not good. Because if anyone could say anything about me, then I'd feel terrible.
Even someone who may know you a little bit. I had a person, it was an employer, ask, what do you want to do? And, being 5 years. And my degree is not in the creative industry. It was in computer programming, if you can believe that. Ooh, horrible mistake. But the person, and she didn't mean anything mean about it. She just said, well, not everybody can be a singer. That was her way of saying, I'm not quite sure you're going to be able to be a designer. Well, many, many years later, we've successfully, by the grace of God, run a creative agency for over 16 years, and I have the honor of also working and leading Uncommon. It's easy to pass out snap judgments, or even that way you see me right now.
Yeah.
You don't know where God has path for me.
Yeah.
And so when we take other people's opinions or judgments and put it above God, we run the chance of that person giving us wrong information.
Yeah.
And so only God knows our steps, which He has orchestrated. Yeah. And so I often think of that, not very often, but I do often think of that from a lesson perspective of, if I'm looking at someone, not probably pass out that kind of judgment too, because it's just a chapter in that person's life. That's not the whole book.
Yeah.
And so our first verse here kind of touches on that. It's Philippians 4:13. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those things are different for each one of us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes getting through that may be something monumental, maybe some very small, a change of perspective kind of thing. But knowing that God is in control of that situation is important, because you give God control of your value and direction, and not someone else or situation.
Right. And so that helps a lot with freezing up, right? Like I have a friend of mine who, he's trying to find a new job right now, and he's applied a couple places and he's interviewed And he's always told me after the meeting or interviews, I'd be like, how'd it go, man? He's like, oh, it went fine. He's like, but if it's God's will, that door will open. If not, I'll keep trucking along. And so there's a lot of freeing in that statement of like, you know, I can do my best,
sure,
but then God's going to meet me the rest of the way,
yeah,
and point me in that direction. And one thing about these kind of verses, especially for Philippians, it's kind of like the John 3:16 kind of thing, where it's like everyone kind of knows this verse, and it becomes white noise. And so I impress upon the fact that, you know, this verse, while you may have heard it many, 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 many times before, it still holds the weight of the living Word of God.
Sure.
And so, you know, we treat that with high reverence.
Yeah, it's important for us to keep our focus on God in these, you know, fear of failing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there have been Bible characters, we touched on this a little bit in our stress one, that they may have felt like they failed.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, holy cow, actively chasing down Christians to kill them, only to become the core of his being to spread the gospel. That's why he says in Scripture, 60 years into his life, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. Mm. You know, so he still dealt with that. There are people who probably, you know, felt like they failed.
Moses, easily.
Yeah.
I mean, either you look at, you know, walking up to that mountaintop, coming back, and these people that you just spent so much time saving, spending time with, already worshiping a golden calf. Mm. Between that and then them bickering about water, and then he strikes that staff out of anger.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of times in all these guys' lives that they've probably done things and it felt like failures. And you know what the best part is? God still used them.
Sure. I mean, told Moses, because of that disobedience, you're not going to see the promised land. I'm sure he felt a bit like a failure right there. And so it's good to read Scripture and learn from those situations, because that's there for our benefit.
Right.
So we have a couple of things that I want to take and just touch on here, a couple of points before we stop our first segment. It says, how can faith in God's strength and presence help us overcome the fear of failure or making mistakes? And then also explore how surrounding yourself with encouragement from Scripture in community creates courage and resilience. And so as we come back from my other segment, we'll kind of talk on both of those a little bit. And so we'll see you on the other side. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner, delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right, so we're back on our second segment, and we want to touch on a couple of bullet points. So how can faith in God's strength and presence in our lives help us overcome the fear of failure or making mistakes?
I know for me, and I've talked about this briefly in previous podcasts, about not knowing what to say and relying on that Holy Spirit to kind of come to my aid, knowing what I need to say in those moments kind of thing. Knowing that for all my lacking areas, all my deficiencies, God is there to help me fulfill his plan and his glory.
Sure.
I mean, I look at Jonah as a prime example of, like, Jonah didn't want to go do what the Lord called him to. He ran the other way. And God said, no, I got a plan. You come back here. And so for me, that gives me hope of, like, even if I say make a terrible decision or make bad decisions or whatever, that I'm never too far gone or too far off God's path for him to pull me back.
I'm always had this one kind of on my notes, that God doesn't grow the kingdom because of me. He grows it in spite of me. Mm-hmm. And just how arrogant would I need to be to think that he is limited by my lack of abilities?
No.
And so when we think about God's strength and presence in our lives, now, that's the thing. God's strength, if he's not present in your life, there's you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You're going to deal with failure and stress and trials of life, and you'll turn to things that cannot overcome that.
Right.
But having God's presence in your life in Christ, that's where your faith can overcome that fear of failure. Right. And so will you fail and make mistakes? Of course. That's just part of life.
Yep.
So the next one is exploring how surrounding yourself with encouragement from Scripture as well as community can create courage and resilience.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible talks about courage and strength beyond all understanding, right? Like, those are the moments where you know that it is not me, it is God that is working through me, kind of thing.
Sure.
But, you know, being in Bible, that's a bare minimum every day. You got to be there, because if you're not pulling from Scripture, that well inside of you, it's empty, right?
Sure.
You can't pull from it. But having community is just as important. Having mentors, mentorees, everything in between, just having people that you can rely on. Because I know there was plenty of guys that I knew growing up in college, and, you know, it's what we talk about, how when you go off to college, this becomes your faith instead of your parents' faith. And all these guys started surrounding themselves with people who were not of the greatest crowd and definitely not Christians.
Sure.
And when he relied on them for advice, it was never biblically sound advice.
Oh, sure.
And so having a good Christian community in your church and whatever that needs to be for you is just so paramount, because if you're getting information or getting input from people who are not in the Word as well, you'll be misled, you'll be deceived, you'll be lied to.
Sure.
Or they'll point you into those leaning into things that are, you know, dangerous for you. It's like kind of coping mechanisms of drugs, sex, alcohol, video games, food, whatever. And, you know, that's where you can find people's true intentions.
Sure. I think it was a person in your college class that suggested to you, you should go to Vegas because they felt that you were sheltered as a child.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, with that kind of advice, you should start your own talk show.
Yeah, right.
Wow. You know, just daytime television at its finest. So we had our small group social last night, and it was a great example of someone who's a little bit younger than me, or at least going through something that I've already gone through. And a person who I consider to be a mentor for myself has gone through it, what I've gone through already. What I'm going through, he's gone through already. And it was a great thing is that, you know, the person who's, say, younger than me, let's just say that for category's sake, their son just got married. Mm-hmm. And they were going through, like, well, how is it going to be when we have to share our time with in-laws or upcoming holidays? And so I got a chance to speak to him a little bit about, well, flexibility is a sign of maturity. Mm-hmm. That's a motto that Mom and I have adopted years ago. And also understanding that your child, your son, daughter, has different responsibilities now and all that. And then the gentleman who's older than me, he was able to chime in from a perspective of, you know, even older grandchildren and their, like, relationship and how they handled some of the things, that boundaries that worked for them and all that. So it was just a great model, unintended, that took place over barbecue, which every conversation should be done. But we're sitting there talking, and, you know, what that person is just starting, I've been going through, and Mom and the older gentleman has gone through. And so it's just a great model. And all of us were believers. And just talking through that, sharing experiences and advice and that kind of stuff may not always come out mm-hmm. when you don't have a community of people. Yeah. And I know a person right now that they just struggle making friends. They just want to be with family.
Yeah.
They're just holding on to family for dear life, scared to death of making a friend, of missing out on time with family.
Yeah.
And when that family person can't be there, they're alone.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is why community comes in all forms. He didn't say, go out and find all the 30-year-olds to hang out with. It's a community, a body of Christ, because some are going to be, older than you, some are younger than you. And so that's what I got out of that that statement. Why don't you read us our next verse, Joshua 1:9.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Hmm. I think some people think that God's only at that church.
Mm.
It's like, oh,
he's in my little box.
Yeah, I'm gonna take him. I'm gonna give me some God when I go to church on Sunday between 10 and 11, 11 and 12 kind of thing. I don't think people, not everybody, approaches God as if we're here and dwelled with the Holy Spirit 24/7. And so, I love that. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, so as we end our segment here with fear of failure, we always like to do a challenge. And so our challenge is twofold. One, we want you to leave comments, whether it be on our YouTube podcast or our social platforms, or even if you visit our website at uncommon.org, leave comments, engage with us. That helps us develop new content and also answer questions that come in. And so we know everybody struggles with this, so the comments should come easy. It's not like it's I've never gone through that. We've all gone through this. So that's one. The next one is our practical challenge for this topic. Is name one dream you've been afraid to pursue and take that first step this week. And then share your experience on social media with the hashtag fear of failure. And I'll give you one final thing that it was I'm not quite sure it was a dream, but it was very many years ago. My dad said, why don't you start your own business? I'm like, what are you crazy? That's an expensive sentence. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what are you talking about? All the things have to line up kind of thing. Well, here we are 16 plus years later in business for myself.
Lots of fearful moments.
Fear of failure. Indeed. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'd encourage you, if you do comment, find solace in the fact that if you don't have a community that you can plug into ours.
Sure.
Use these areas of comments and to find that community for yourself. And that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage and challenge and everything like that. So, don't be afraid to go out there. You may find that you're not the only one that suffers from that fear, or people that have already overcome that fear and can kind of come alongside you. So,
yeah, definitely. So, well, guys, thanks for joining in, and go be uncommon.